You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi, and I host this business talk show, which airs live on Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. If you're listening to this show at some point in the future as a podcast, I urge you to listen live during our broadcast times, heard exclusively on octalkradio.net. You know, the goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better decisions. And we do this by interviewing thought leaders and peer executives who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences. You know, I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. If you'd like to learn more about Smart Business Magazine, visit their website, www.sbnonline.com. Select the Orange County area in the local journal section, and you'll see information specifically for Orange County. Critical Mass, the radio show, is an extension of our 17-year consulting practice. One of the things we do is build CEO peer groups for executives and business owners in Orange County, California. And we do this in partnership. Executive Forums is an international organization committed to helping members take their business to the next level. My business partner, Doug DeFeller, and I currently chair multiple CEO peer groups. We had one this morning. Doug is a master certified coach, which is a distinction achieved by less than 900 coaches in the world. Doug is the lead partner in charge of our coaching practice, and Doug hosts a call-in talk show right here on octalkradio.net. It's called The Coaching Perspective, coincidentally the same title as this forthcoming book, due out later this year, The Coaching Perspective. Be sure to tune in every Thursday and listen in this time slot. My book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, was the first book ever written about the peer group experience.
Yeah, and I would just like to say, if you'd like to learn more about my book, which is Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, which was the first book ever written about the peer group experience, then go to Amazon.com, type in my name, Richard Franzi, and you'll find out more information about the book. If you'd like to join in this unique version of Critical Mass, the radio show today, unique, and I'll explain that in a minute, then if you're on the octalkradio.net website, find the community chat room, log in with your Twitter ID, post your comments. Paul, the producer slash interviewer, will be watching those throughout the show. I'm sure he'll bring some of those thoughts into the conversation, and hopefully we can entertain and answer your questions or address your comments. The reason why I say this is a little different show is for those of you loyal listeners, you know that I am the host of the show, and mostly I ask the questions and my guests answer the questions. But for those of you who might have listened to some episodes of Critical Mass in the recent past when I was unable to host the show, Paul filled in very capably as the host for the show.
You're too kind.
And so that got us thinking, why don't we spend a little bit of time, because in addition to being the host, guest host, and producer for the show, Paul also functions and has for a number of years, really since we published our first book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of the CEO Peer Group, as our public relations firm.
Yes.
His firm, West Coast Marketing, has been working with us since 2008. And so I asked Paul if he would be willing to discuss with me something that Doug and I are very excited about, and that is the upcoming Orange County Business Journal's Excellence in Entrepreneurship Awards Luncheon. And the reason for that is I've been to it for years. It's an outstanding event, a lot of positive entrepreneurial energy in the room, and this year, quite a number of the nominees, coincidentally, are clients of Critical Mass for Business. So Paul, why don't I use this as a segue to kind of hand you the baton so that you can be the host, and let's have a conversation about this 2011 Orange County Business Journal Excellence in Entrepreneurship Luncheon.
Okay, I'd love to. You know, and as a producer, you know, it's every producer's fantasy to come out from behind the curtain and take over the mic. If only we could do it ourselves, we'd do so much better. And the one time I tried it, I found out, you know, this isn't so easy as it sounds here. You really know what you're doing. So, with that compliment here, I will tell you that it's a pleasure to talk to you today about something that I know you're very proud about, and I'm proud as well. I think everybody in the Critical Mass community is proud that so many of this year's Entrepreneur of the Year nominees from the Orange County Business Journal's annual competition, so many of them are members of your peer groups. How did that happen?
Well, you know, the one of our members, Patty Sinkle, is also a past nominee and award winner for the Excellence in Entrepreneurship Award. And so I believe there is something different about the people that join peer groups, not just Critical Mass for Business peer groups, but other peer groups as well. And I think this year the Orange County Business Journal is recognizing some of that difference by having 8 of the nominees. And I believe of the total, there's a little over 100. I don't have the final number, but it feels like there's a little over 100 nominees this year. And so, you know, for 8 of them to be out of our community, I think that demonstrates that the Orange County Business Journal is sort of recognizing the unique talents of the kind of leaders that run businesses that also then join CEO peer groups.
You know, let's talk about that, because there's more and more information coming out about the power of peer groups. You certainly were one of the first to articulate it in your book, as we've talked about numerous times, which came out a couple years ago when peer groups had been around for a long time, but I don't think anybody had really put a name to it. I don't think anybody had really thought about specifically what are the power of peer groups and enumerated them, as you did. Talk about some of the other information that's coming out. I know I was at a seminar that you guys put on, because I'm also in one of your peer groups and believe in it very much. I was at a seminar where you guys talked about Keith McFarland, the breakthrough business, and at the very end of that whole presentation, he talked about, of the breakthrough companies he identified in America, how many of them, like some huge percentage of them, were also in peer groups.
Well, there were 9 companies that were able to break through what you might think of as the Inc. 500 challenge, which is not to just be a fast growth, maybe a flash in the pan, worst case, but certainly a company that grows quickly over a short period of time but doesn't continue to grow. And so these 9 companies, he discovered 6 unique qualities that they all possessed. And one of those 6 unique qualities is the belief in scaffolding, as he called it, which is getting outside influences into your company.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 of the 9 companies used CEO peer groups as one of their outside scaffoldings to make sure that their leaders were current and aware of the environment outside their business. And so, yeah, you're right. That is a pretty impressive statistic that 4 of the 9 companies, of the 7,000 companies that he looked at, which were all Inc. 500 companies, there were only 9 that exhibited these 6 qualities, and 4 of the 9 were in CEO peer groups, which I think is another indication of maybe what the Orange County Business Journal is seeing this year in their Excellence in Entrepreneurship Award, kind of the uniqueness of people that join CEO peer groups as servant leaders.
And yet I don't hear much in the mainstream media, we'll use that pejorative term here, that I don't hear much in the mainstream media about this movement. I know that Jan Norman has written about it in her column, much to her credit, but I haven't heard too many other people talking about that. Is it still something that's kind of flying under the radar, and do you think, if so, it's coming out into the open a little bit more here?
Well, you know, as you're aware, American Express Open did an article recently on CEO peer groups. I had the good fortune to be interviewed and quoted in that article. And I do think, Paul, people, I think through the challenging times of what has been called the Great Recession, business leaders realized that, and it became very apparent, the need to get new ideas into their company, because many times what had been working previously wasn't working, or certainly wasn't working as well. And I think that caused, in my direct experience with leaders here in Orange County, California, this awareness that if I get into a collaborative think tank with other peer business leaders, this is another way to learn about how to deal with the challenges that are somewhat unprecedented for us in our business lives, because who's seen a recession like the one that we're just hopefully come through and
right.
come out of?
So let's talk about a peer group. You know, there are still people out there who probably even listen to your show who may not really fully understand what a peer group is. What is a, as you call them, CEO peer groups? What are they? How do they work? What are, you know, give us the details.
Well, you know, and I think the 8 members of our peer groups here, we have 4 peer groups in currently in Orange County, and 8 of the members that are nominees for this year's Excellence in Entrepreneurship would probably talk about the fact that the peer group is a safe environment. It's governed by a confidentiality agreement, but equally as important as the written agreement is the realization that you can talk about anything you want in a safe environment among people who, since they're peers of business leaders, CEOs, business owners, understand a lot of what you might be discussing, because many times they probably have had some shared experience. So foundationally for a peer group, and that's a key element of it, is the fact that you are free to talk about topics. An example is a peer group meeting we had this morning, and one of the members mentioned to me that this was really the only place that he could talk about a topic that we talked about.
So it's sort of like a therapy session almost for business leaders, group therapy, that you come together and you can be yourself and let your hair down and open up to other people who hopefully understand what you're going through.
Yeah, but it is, some people hear that and they go, well, that's kind of, I don't need therapy, I'm healthy. And it's not these, because on the other side of being able to talk about anything without reservation, the other side of it is the group holds one another very accountable. So there is, to me, it is analogous to going to a club, a workout club, a fitness gym, and exercising with intention, and having, you know, not going there and watching the aerobics class, but actually getting in a class with people who are your level and challenge you to continue to, you know, put your best foot forward and exercise.
They push you a little bit. It's they urge you to go another few repetitions here.
Yeah, and they know what you want to do, and so they align with your goals as well. Because they see you every month for a half a day, they learn. It is amazing how well these members, because a number of the nominees for this year's Excellence in Entrepreneurship Award are in the same peer group, and it is amazing how well they've come to know one another. You know, we say even though you see each other only, in a sense, one day a week for a half a day, the level of relationship and information you have about each other is deeper than many times people that work in their company with them, or
right.
business associates that have known them for years, because of the fact that we do things in that group that you can't really do anywhere else. And I think that is a platform from which these 8 members, and I'd like to kind of talk about each one of them a little bit
sure,
here in a minute,
sure.
Have been able to launch their business through what has been a very difficult economy, such to the point that, again, Orange County Business Journal is recognizing these 8 along with the other 90 plus that are in the Orange County business community, a business community of, you know, thousands of businesses.
And I just want to correct one misperception that you misspoke. I think earlier you said that they only meet each other one day a week for a half a month, or for half a day, and it's one day a month, not just one day a week, right? So a peer group is you get together once a month with a bunch of people who are all at the same position you do. And your peer groups function a little different, because you don't just take, a complete smattering. You don't have companies with billion-dollar revenues in with little companies with million-dollar revenues. You really focus more than most on like-minded businesses, businesses at the same level. Talk about that for a second. Why is that so different about what you do, and why is that so important?
Well, again, I think the members would tell you that for a peer group to really deliver its maximum potential value, you need to look around the table as a member and feel that the other members are your peers. And in other words, they need to kind of see the world in a similar way as you do. And so Doug and I, my business partner Doug Gefeller, and I work very hard to bring new members to one of our four peer groups where we think they will look around the table and recognize that, and the people around the table will look at them and go, yes, they're adding something to the group, and because of their business experience, education, size of business, we're going to be able to solve problems and take advantage of opportunities because we have a similar set of resources at which our disposal. My direct experience in peer groups is when you have a very large company, a leader of a very large company, in with mid-sized companies and small entrepreneurial companies, there's a natural imbalance there because sometimes the large company CEO looks at the smaller companies thinking, I have people who work for me, or maybe even people who work for me with a similar span of control as these other companies. And then the other smaller, mid-sized and smaller companies, entrepreneurs, they look at the large company and they go, well, this individual doesn't understand what I'm going through because there's several layers removed from what I'm dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And so we avoid all of that by making sure that when we bring the new members into the group, there really is that immediate connection because it's very powerful when the new member says, you know what, these people kind of get me and I get them. Just immediately within the first hour, it feels very natural for me to be here. And I think that's what my eight nominees, who are also our members, would probably talk to you about, because some of them have been with us for quite some time and others are relatively new to the CEO peer group process, new being, in the past year or year plus to our organization.
Okay. Well, I know you want to get to the nominees. Let's hold that for 5 minutes after the break. We'll list them all and talk about what they each contribute to this community and to your community a whole. But I want to spend just the next couple of minutes just kind of, digging a little further about the power of this peer group, because I think you see it, I think you believe in it, and I think to a certain degree, you sort of take it for granted. Well, it's obvious. I'm not so sure that people still get what a peer group does. You've talked about three of the powers. I've been kind of checking them off here. The first one was, well, what the heck? What have I got to lose? Nothing else is working. That's sort of insurance. I'll do something different and maybe it'll help me. And then you talked about some of the other ones. Okay, so it's a place, it feels good because it's for the first time I can open up. I don't have to put on this boss veneer, this know-it-all mystique. I can admit maybe I don't have all the answers. And it is a collaborative, supportive environment. All those are great. But what really surprised me, and I'd like to talk about for the next couple of minutes while we're leading up to the break here, is the transformative powers. The ways in which bringing people together creates, as it used to be called, or maybe still is, a mastermind, or maybe to put it in more tangible terms, it somehow your ideas come up in this environment that wouldn't maybe occur to you if you were just sitting thinking about them yourself or talking to your friends or family. Talk about those transformative powers a bit here.
Well, if you look at the 10 powers, if you were to buy Critical Mass, the 10
powers. Yeah, let's do that.
Powers, and read the book, you would see that we, and it really in subsequent work that we've done within Critical Mass for Business with members and others, we've recognized that some of the powers are foundational, and I think by talking about a safe environment, that safe haven, that is the foundation upon which a successful peer group has to be built.
Sure.
But as you look and move up the ladder, there are other deeper, if you will, powers that become available and are enabled by the foundational powers, like being in a safe haven. At the kind of top of it, there are three, and I'll talk about two of those three. One of them is molecular, my term, molecular. An example of that, or at least a definition of that, is the ability to alter to some degree the member's business DNA. Now, we're not, this isn't any type of reprogramming activity that we do, but what,
right.
what I mean by that, and maybe the example is the one that's in the book that I find very, it was very impactful when I heard it the first time, is the story of George and Irene as a molecular way that a peer group can affect an individual. I'll be brief, but the story is this, and you can read it in more detail in the book. George and Irene had been peer group. George had been a peer group member for a number of years, a family business. They were the first generation, and they were working their son, Gary, to be more involved in the business. But on one of the retreats, which we hold annually, which we just had here in Southern California last weekend, but they worked on, as a concept, work-life balance, because we know many times for our members, that's a challenge for them. And it was a very important kind of weekend retreat, but it was no different than what we do each year with our members from our perspective as far as the kind of content that we deliver. Fast forward then a couple years later, and George had a sudden illness and passed away, unexpected. And at his funeral, Irene decided to speak, wanted to speak about George's life. And she talked about a lot of things in their life, and she, to the surprise of the person who does what Doug and I do in Connecticut, what we do in Southern California, he does it in Connecticut, Irene actually spent a part of the time talking about George, thanking the peer group and the leader of the peer group for that weekend retreat, because what George and Irene decided to do right after that retreat was begin to spend long weekends together, bring their son Gary more into the business and get him ready to take it over, and really began to plan for phasing out of the business. Well, they never got to that point of being able to phase out of the business. What Irene said to the group was, we had time together that we would have never had if we hadn't been to that weekend retreat that caused us to realize we were imbalanced. And so that's a molecular way that being in a peer group can benefit its members and give them an opportunity to realize something that maybe otherwise they wouldn't have been able to recognize.
Change them in ways they didn't even recognize they were changing. I'll give you one example of my own experience, and I'll keep it, you know, real vague, so we'll maintain the anonymity of the group here. But there was a guy in one of the groups that I was in early with you, who very very strong headed, and so he came to the group and said, you know, I'm thinking of doing something, hiring somebody and going in another direction. We discussed it, we debated it, we talked about it, asked a lot of questions. And afterwards, everybody went around the room and said, you know, you want my opinion? No, I don't think you should do it. Instead of sitting back and listening to that, saying, okay, maybe I got to rethink what I'm doing, eight other, you know, people in the similar kinds of situation I am, same size companies, all think this is a dumb idea. Instead, he starts arguing with the group. No, you don't understand what I'm talking about then. And he goes through and makes the whole case again. And everybody listens and they say, you know, I'm sorry, we just don't see it that way. Everybody, to a man in the group. And finally somebody said, you know, is this the way you are with your employees? You know, you're always complaining that they never give you ideas and they never offer you any alternatives. You know, is this the do you argue with them like you argue with us? And he really, it caught him by surprise and knocked him back on his heels. And he said, I don't think so. And he went back and apparently thought about it and came back to the group the next week and said, you know, I guess I really do that. And when I, you know, really asked some people, tell me the honest truth, they kind of admitted it. So in a way, he found some part of himself that he hadn't been able to recognize and was able to alter that motive behavior. That's what I'll call DNA. Well, let's go to a commercial and then let's come back and talk about how these powers, how this participation in your peer groups has transformed these people into possible entrepreneurs of the year. Stick around.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Thank you for that, Smart Business Magazine. I think they're smart enough to recognize that you're onto something here. The Orange County Business Journal seems to recognize it, too. They picked 8 of your peer group members to be among the elite in Orange County here, and maybe one of them will end up being Entrepreneur of the Year. How do you think? I don't think any of them ever been there before, have they? Have any of them ever been so honored or recognized prior to their peer group participation?
I don't know if... I know that one of our members, Arman Sadeki of All Green Electronics Recycling in Tustin, he's the founder and owner of the firm, had been nominated last year for this award. And actually this year he's been nominated by more than one organization, which tells me that others in the community see what he's been able to create. And All Green is a relatively young company, but yet has grown significantly in a very important space, which is electronics recycling done the right way. And so, you know, that other than Arman, I'm not sure if any of the other of the Critical Mass nominees have been nominated.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that it was their participation in peer groups, as it has been in my case, that took their business to another level, either by getting more people to recognize their success, like in Arman's case, and feel that they deserved recognition for that, or bringing them to the up on the radar screen for the first time here. You know, I'm going to say it's probably some of this mysterious transformative powers here that you almost have to experience to understand. Talk about the businesses that are on the list, and maybe you can, you know, give your sort of eyeball assessment. What makes them possible Entrepreneurs of the Year?
Well, if you look at the 8 nominees, they are Diane Altweiss. Diane and her partner, Janice Preston, have a company, Core Performance Concepts. I'll talk about that a little bit later, but just kind of go through them real quickly. There's Dan Kaufman. Dan is the owner of UPS Protection Systems. UPS Protection Systems, his company, he bought from a lifestyle business owner and has really turned it into a high-growth company, such that he was recognized in the fall as one of the Orange County Business Journal's fast-growing private companies. And so he was recognized on that dimension of revenue growth and growing his business as well. If you look at Cody Fletcher, Cody is a serial entrepreneur. He's currently leading 2 businesses, Flip Studios being his primary business, and he has successful entrepreneurial roots when you look at his background. And then you have someone like Hector Garcia, who is the business owner and founder of MBN Designs. And MBN Designs has been in business for 10 years and delivering graphics design for the packaging industry to, you know, major companies in Southern California and other parts of the country. Names like Avery Labels, for instance, is a name that many of the audience would recognize.
Sure,
probably use
sure.
their products, probably use packaging that was designed by Hector's firm, MBN Design. Or Elizabeth Haddix, who has Haddix Design, which is a very differentiated design space planning firm and has been doing business here in Orange County for quite a number of years.
High rise of buildings and laying out plans for new construction and offices and buildings and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Right. And very, as you can see just from the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people I've talked about, and I've, you know, 7 people I've talked about, very different. And then we have 2 nominees who you might think are in the same business, but actually they're in the same industry, but in very different parts of it. Michelle Patterson, again, founder and CEO of Event Complete, which puts on a variety of different events, large-scale events, music, concert, food type of events, festival events, but also has had great success planning more intimate events like events that are sponsored through Groupon. Matter of fact, she has a strategic relationship and partnership.
Yeah, I think she's a Groupon ambassador, event ambassador or something like that.
Right. And then compare her to our final nominee, only final in the sense that I try to do it alphabetically by last name for the most part, Lily Shadab. Lily's firm, Elite Productions International, is also in the event planning industry, but a very different area of event planning. She does large-scale corporate events for very high-end financial investment and advisement firms, as well as large technology firms, which I've, if I said the names, you would recognize them because probably many of your computers have their chips in them, etc. So, you know, similar industry, same industry, but quite different business models, but yet very successful entrepreneurs in their own right, creating, you know, successful companies in their own space. And so, you know, those are the eight. And when you look at them, they are such a diverse group of people in different market segments with different age of companies and different ages of themselves, different education and background. The one common theme these eight nominees share is being a part of a CEO peer group, and I have the good fortune, as does Doug, to have them attend Critical Mass for Business here in Oregon.
But you know what they don't have in common that I and probably many of the listeners would expect is that they're not high-tech, high-growth companies. We're talking about some rather unique enterprises here that don't fit into the spectrum of the world's most successful industries. You wouldn't think of battery backup systems or event planning or, you know, maybe green recycling because green's kind of hot, but space planning. These aren't sexy fields that you say, well, of course they're entrepreneurs of the year. Gee, I wish I was in that field. You know, everybody in that field's a successful entrepreneur. These are pretty mainstream businesses with a wide cross-section of Orange County industries here that somehow have risen above their competitors and somehow have turned what you wouldn't think as fast, high-growth industries into successful entrepreneurial enterprises. And I think, again, that's got to speak. The only thing they have in common is being in a peer group. They're not there because they happen to have the good fortune of stumbling into a hot topic. So let's talk about that. How do you take an ordinary person and take their game to the next level? What is it about peer groups that pushes? Is it just the push of the group? Is it the collective brain power of the group? Is it the what is it?
Well, I guess I have to take exception with some of the words you chose.
Okay.
And I'll start with the most obvious one, which is ordinary. One of the distinguishing qualities of people who see peer groups as a valuable investment of their time, money, energy, and focus is they're lifelong learners.
Ah, okay.
In other words, they really do. They probably subscribe to a Books on Tape or a audio, audible.com, or own a Kindle or an iPad.
Or go to seminars and continuing education and things like that.
They are searching for an advantage. And they recognize, if you take that first quality, which is lifelong learner, and you marry it to a humble leader, a servant leader in that term, in other words, someone who has a modesty about their own skills, they are confident people, believe me. When you get them in a room, they have opinions, they have beliefs, and they are quite knowledgeable and have expertise. But they also recognize that their view of the world is their view of the world, and that sometimes the facts, the underlying facts that are observable, may lead other intelligent people to a different worldview than they have. And so they respect that ability of others to come up with a different point of view, and they actually seek to learn from others their point of view to make sure that in their view of the world as a member of a peer group and a leader of a company, they are not missing something that would be important for them in factors as far as making business decisions and good quality decisions.
So these aren't just ordinary folks. By their mere participation in the group, they demonstrate their willingness to learn and to grow.
Because you have to check your ego at the door. It's one of the few times in their business month where they aren't the boss in the room. And for those that are listening to this show that are CEOs and business owners, you recognize that when you walk into the conference room with a group of people and everybody, and we all work for the same company, and it happens to be your company,
right,
you sort of have an alpha position within that room, which is sometimes an advantage, but also it can be something to be cautious about, especially when you're looking to get unfiltered ideas and feedback on a topic that's really critical to the future of your firm.
So it must be fireworks then. You get a bunch of alpha males in the room, and you ask them to check their ego at the door, and then they all start telling each other the truth here. That sounds like that could be kind of brutal.
Okay, so again, I have to take exception with your words. They are not alpha males.
I'm baiting you here. Okay.
Let's see, so we have Diane. She's a female.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, Michelle, Lily. So four of the eight are not males. And, to be a successful entrepreneur, there are certain qualities that you need to possess, and one of them is a confidence in your own ability to create something from nothing. And that is daunting for those that haven't done it yet. I kind of think, as a consultant in the industry, many people who would like to own their own business or run their own business don't take the entrepreneurial tack because to make something appear that it isn't anything, or to take and radically transform an existing firm, as Dan Kaufman did with UPS Protection, there's a high quotient of potential failure in that.
Oh, yeah, you're the magician standing on stage, and you look down on the hat, and you don't see the rabbit, but you still got to pull it out.
So when you bring those kind of people who've proven to themselves that they can create something of value, and you bring them together with 11 other people who have very different experiences, but yet you can find the common intersections in each one of them for discussion and topic and learning, you've magnified the learning opportunity by the number of people and experiences that are in the room, and it's hugely beneficial, our members tell us, to the way that they run and operate their business, which I think is evidenced, Paul, by eight of them being included by the Orange County Business Journal in the Excellence in Entrepreneurship Award.
Then why can't people just get together at somebody's house and do this, or meet at a restaurant once a month and do it? What's different about a paid, facilitated group such as yours from just an informal, brainstorming session with a bunch of like-minded, eager people here?
I talk about that in the book, and have done research on that subject, as have others. One of the challenges in bringing together 12 business leaders is, first of all, bringing them together. Okay. Because everybody's busy, and there are 1,000 other voices asking for the time of the business leader, for the CEO not to be at a peer group.
Sure.
So that's your first challenge. The second challenge in a non-professionally facilitated peer group is, even when they start out with well-defined goals, well-described operating procedure for the meeting, an understanding of mutual respect and trust, and et cetera, they tend to, over time, as any well-intended kind of groups of people, they tend to develop patterns of behavior that, when everyone is unequal, becomes hard to manage. Part of why people come to Critical Mass for Business and work with Doug and I a half a day once a month is we're able to structure an environment where we can get maximum results in the minimum amount of time, because we can manage the meeting in a way to deliver the benefit that the members need. And we're working the entire month to make sure that that time together has the most opportunity for learning, sharing, and growing, rather than at the last minute, an unstructured group that gets together may not have as tight of a plan on the outcome as you will find from something like Critical Mass for Business.
So you guys help keep the group on time, on target, on point, and yet I think there's something more you bring to it. And I think you guys are a little modest about this, so I'll toot your horn here a little bit. I think that it's more than just being a good moderator for a discussion. You have to inspire people to look in different directions. You have to encourage them to consider ridiculous ideas and options, like me, a PR person creating an internet radio station. And I think you bring something to it because of your own background and experiences that we lack otherwise, and that's a certain coaching perspective, we'll call it, a guidance, a ability to bring out the best in people. And I see you do it on the radio show. I see you get people to open up and talk about very intimate issues in a very public format. And I think that's part of it as well here. So I think you're an important ingredient in that magic mix, and I wouldn't downplay the importance of who you and Doug are to the success of those groups and the success that people are realizing out of their participation. So I throw that out for whatever it's worth here.
Well, thank you for that. You know, Doug and I have a table at the Orange County at the luncheon where the awards will be presented. It's on March 17th, which happens to be St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Interesting day that the Orange County Business Journal picked to have the event. I'm good with it.
I think there's going to be a little green beer drinking after that party's over with.
Yeah, I have, you know, Critical Mass Coast to Coast that afternoon, so I have to, you know...
moderate your
I have to
participation.
Be responsible to be on the radio show at 3 o'clock. I really like the idea that such a large contingent of our community has been nominated that we can fill a table and that we can create sort of a fun event for everyone, because I know that our members, as anyone who's listening maybe can connect to, if you've been nominated for some type of an industry award before, hey, you know, I'm sure they would like to win, and I'd like them all to win. I'm hoping that some of them will win, and we'll have that reason to celebrate. But, you know, to have our community at one table, I can't imagine, you know, whom else has that opportunity to have that large of a client population that also then can completely consume a table. And, frankly, we may need a couple extra seats because, you know, they may want to bring their significant others or whatever to share in the moment.
So now, I'm going to challenge your words.
Right now.
I don't think of my relationship with you in the peer groups as a client, maybe as a PR professional, but not as a coach, not as a peer person. And I doubt that most of the other people refer to you as their, you know, just like a typical vendor-client relationship here. I think that you are doing something that has been needed in this community for a long time, and that is the word I just said, community. We're all in this together, and that's the message I get, that collaborative sense, that let's all pitch in and help out, and we're there to help you up, and we're there to encourage you on, and we're there to share ideas with you for no immediate gain. That is a miraculous thing that I haven't seen happen in a long time. And my hat's off to you for the community. I think that's what you're doing. You're helping to create a community of people, not just bring them together, but so that they connect to each other and help each other. I haven't seen that in a long time, and that's a positive thing that I'm proud to be part of, and I think you should be proud that you're helping to create and bring about. So,
well, thank you. And you mentioned Jan Norman earlier,
right,
as a business professional in Orange County that's recognized what we're doing with Critical Mass. And you know, she was also one of our early guests on Critical Mass radio show. And one of the things that when we were talking with her in the briefing before the radio show, one of the things that she saw happening, and this was 2 years ago, May 2 years ago, is that the recession was causing business owners, and she knows quite a number of them in Orange County, to to really look to try to help one another in a way that was analogous, from her perspective, to what must have been going on during the Great Depression, when people really did, to a deep level, have to help one another and maybe want to help one another. And so I'm kind of believing that what she was observing has only continued to grow within the community. And so something like a peer group where people are paying it forward to some degree,
right,
and working together is even more appropriate, because what we have just gone through, if there's a silver lining to what we just had to go through from a business learning lesson, it might be how much better we can do when we're collaborative in a decision-making sense and in a community sense.
Well, the show that's going to come up in a few minutes from now, Pilgrim on the 405, somebody you introduced me to, Will Crist, in some sense is talks the same kind of language that you do, uniting people, you know, pilgrims, pioneers, all pitching in to ward off the evils out on the prairie and help each other here. I don't think there's enough talk about what this is going on, because I think it's a fundamental transformation in the way people are going to do business this way forward, and I think you're in your own way a pioneer in this area here. So,
well, thanks, Paul, and I'm excited for March 17th. If anyone's listening and it's not March 17th yet and you haven't purchased your ticket to be at that and you'd like to be around a group of entrepreneurs, this is a fun luncheon, and the keynote speaker is a recent radio show guest on Critical Mass, the radio show,
okay.
Steele Platt, who is the founder.
Oh, yeah, he was
right?
Fascinating.
I'm sorry?
He was fascinating. I really dug that. Having been in the bar business myself, he founded the Yard House chain.
Yeah. So he's the founder of Yard House, and he's going to be the keynote speaker there, so that's kind of neat as well. That brings it full circle. So I wanted to take an hour out of the Critical Mass radio show broadcasting year to publicly recognize the 8 Critical Mass for Business members who are nominees for the 2011 Orange County Business Journal's Excellence in Entrepreneurship Award, and wish them the best of luck, and hopefully they'll all have a great time on March 17th, and it exceeds their expectations. So thanks, Paul, again for playing guest host. And
absolutely, and as your weekly producer here, I wanted to take a chance to thank you for the show and for what I've learned from it, and for the community that you're helping to create here, this critical mass of people that you're bringing together to create explosive growth. It's happening here, and the proof is the number of participants you have in this year's Entrepreneurial Award. So, how do people get in touch with you? How do the people get in touch, go to this event in our last couple minutes here?
If they want to go to the event, it's go to the Orange County Business Journal's website, www.ocbj.com, and you'll see it under the events section. I do want to thank Smart Business Magazine for, again, sponsoring Critical Mass, the radio show. If you'd like to learn more about smart business, it's www.sbnonline.com, sbnonline.com. And if you'd like to learn more about Critical Mass for Business,
yes,
our peer groups or executive coaching, it is www.criticalmassforbusiness.com.
Okay. And with that, we'll end the show, and thank you, and good luck to all your nominees. And next year, I hope to be amongst them here with your help.
There you go.
All right.
Good luck.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, only on octalkradio.net.